when individuals go fight in foreign conflicts, they are prone to committing the same kinds of human rights violations that occur in any kind of armed conflict. These would include the targeting of civilians, which is a violation of international law. It would include mistreatment of detainees, torture. But in addition, the fact that an individual is a foreign fighter, in other words, foreign to the locale in which the conflict is taking place, may very well mean that that individual has less of a stake than local people do in peaceful outcomes, and may be more prone to committing human rights violations.
And now for your meeting, what do you hope will be the outcome? I mean, are you wanting to put pressure on home countries that are the sending countries of these foreign fighters or the receiving countries where they're fighting?
Well, both sending countries and receiving countries. And there are quite a number of things that we think states can and should be doing in addition to what they're doing already. Part of the problem, though, is not just the human rights violations committed by foreign fighters. It's also the human rights violations that states commit in their reaction to terrorism generally and foreign fighters in particular. So there are things that states can do. They can tighten their border controls. They can increase their surveillance. They can presumably take passports away from people that are suspected of sympathizing with extremist groups. And all of these things may have a role, but they also in and of themselves create the risk of human rights violations. After all, international human rights law protects people's right, freedom of association, freedom to travel, freedom to engage in the political process. And states have to be very careful to calibrate their reactions to terrorism generally and the foreign fighter phenomenon in particular in ways that address the problem but do not trample on people's human rights. And that's a huge challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge that I think, though, can be met. And what states can do a better job of is reducing or removing the conditions that are conducive to people joining up with these foreign fighting efforts in the first place.
And how can they do that?
Well, that's the tough question, because we're talking about some really fundamental societal problems. Lack of education, poverty, social disaffection. But any effort in any aspect of counterterrorism that does not look at these fundamental societal problems is bound to fail. And the message that we would like to bring to states is that while border controls, prosecution, preventing people from traveling are all things that have potential roles in any counterterrorism effort, if that's all that states are doing, then they're missing the boat, and they're missing the boat in a way that harms people's human rights rather than promotes them.